Should Be Famous podcast. I am here with a very special group, and I'm excited for today's podcast. We're here with Fiddlesticks, Marco Davis, and daughter Liz Davis Maxfield, who are two of the four members. Is that right?
That's right.
The Fiddlesticks. Liz, you're the youngest daughter, right?
I am.
And Marco's the dad.
Yep, I'm the oldest.
You guys are from Maryland originally. Is that right?
That's right.
That's where we first started playing.
And Marco is broadcasting from Orem, Utah. And Liz, you are in, where are you?
I am currently in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Is it Boston?
Yep.
Are you still finishing your Berkeley degree?
I actually just graduated last month.
Awesome.
So now I'm just holding tight for a couple more days while my husband finishes up work. And then we'll be moving.
Awesome. You're not going straight to Ireland, are you?
Nope. We're actually going to go back west to Utah to visit some family for a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Over the summer.
And then you're going to Ireland?
Yes, in August.
Wow. Okay, well, I'll get back to that in a sec. But this is the Should Be Famous podcast, where we feature the music of people whose talents are otherwise hidden in obscurity and rotting. But we're kind of breaking a rule today because you guys actually are doing something with your music quite productively. This is the Should Be Famous podcast. You guys are kind of the already famous people. You perform quite regularly, right? Something like 50 weeks a year?
Yeah, when we were all living together in Utah, and the kids were in high school or just starting in college, we played a lot. We did about a show a week for a while there, for a few years. It was pretty busy sometimes.
And that must have changed recently because, I mean, Marco, you're in Utah, Liz, you're out east and you'll be going overseas, and Becca's in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's right. It's been, for the last couple of years, we've gotten together when we could, but we've been kind of spread from coast to coast. Becca, our flute player and singer, is living in Hawaii. And Katie was on a mission in South Africa for 2 years ago, and then was touring the world with her husband and backpack and fiddle last year. So she's been away as well. So we've been kind of spread from one end of the world to the other.
Yeah, sounds like my family. Sounds like any family.
Right.
Nowadays, really, it's hard to stay in one location.
Well, that's right. We first met when you guys were in Oregon, right?
You remember, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, we.
I didn't think you would, but yeah, we did.
We played with Ryan Shoup.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think that show, right?
Yeah.
That's right, I remember. That was a fun show.
Yep, that was our first time seeing you guys live, which was a great show. And let me back up just a minute, because I want to talk about that. But just to give the listeners a brief introduction of you guys. So Dad, Marco, three daughters, Becca, Katie, and Liz.
That's right.
And those are all short names, right? Because it's Rebecca.
Catherine.
And Elizabeth?
That's right.
Correct. Elizabeth.
So, but you go by your shorter names mostly, right?
Yes.
And Fiddlesticks is Celtic folk band. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah, mostly Celtic. Some American old time, little bluegrass thrown in from time to time, and other stuff that we kind of just make up.
Yeah.
Down in some lone valley, in a lonesome place, where the wild birds do whistle and their notes do increase. Farewell, pretty soul, I bid you adieu, but I'll dream of pretty sorrow wherever I go.
Okay, Liz, I want to start with you. When we were in Oregon, my dad, who I respect greatly as a musician, was watching you guys perform, and he said, "Look at that girl up there on the cello. Why watch her play, listen to her. And he said, you can just see how she's feeling the, you know, the music and playing along with it. And that's the one comment I remember that impressed me. And then he said, and look at that guy, he doesn't know what he's doing. No, but he did say that about Liz. And I hear you went to Berklee. You just graduated, I guess, from Berklee College of Music in Boston, which is a well-reputed music school. Did you like that?
Yes, it was a fabulous experience. I feel like I learned a lot, and I grew a lot as a musician.
Uh-huh.
I really appreciate the compliment that, you know, your father said I could feel the rhythm. I feel like I've been able to really learn how to express myself and become a better musician since I've been at Berklee. It's been a really, really fun experience.
Well, that's good. I'd love to hear you now, because that was before you were at Berklee, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was.
You were in Portland. Here you've got a Fulbright to a college in Ireland.
Yeah.
What's the name of it again?
I'm going to be doing my master's degree at the University of Limerick.
Limerick.
Yep.
So you must be excited about that.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful opportunity. I'll be studying Irish traditional music performance, and I'll be writing a method book for the cello in that genre.
Wow. So they already gave you the assignment of writing that book, huh?
Well, that was my Fulbright project proposal.
I see.
Since the cello isn't really used in Irish music traditionally, there aren't very many resources to help cellists learn how to play Irish music and any Celtic and folk music. So by really studying and doing this master's degree, I hope to kind of fill the gap so that the next generation of cellists can really learn the Irish style of music and really express the themselves.
Well, that's awesome. So we'll have the pre-Liz Davis Maxfield era and the post-Liz Davis Maxfield. That'll be great.
Yeah, you know, you can kind of see that same evolution in Liz's own performing. You know, when she first started playing cello with the band, everybody figured the cello plays kind of along the bass line, along the bottom, and plays the drones.
Right.
And then she kind of just grabbed more and more of the melody and the spotlight. The last CD that she just finished, The Big Fiddle, you can really hear how the cello can do everything.
Yeah.
It can be the solo instrument, and it can still do the drones and the bass, but it can be the percussion, it can be the mid-range, it's got all kinds of versatility.
Liz, you just came out with a CD called Big Fiddle.
Yes.
And it's you, and is it mostly you and Katie?
No, it's me. It's my solo album, and I actually have quite a few guest artists on there, including my sisters and my dad.
Seventh track, what's the name of it?
It's called New Time, exploring the idea of the combination of fiddle styles and chamber styles. So it's a string quartet arrangement of a tune that I wrote.
Very neat. I like this one.
And sings, and I, she sings by Lily Ween, saying, little can I, my bairn's father, far less the land where he dwells in. For he came one night to her
Katie sings as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that first one that you put on at the beginning, that Pretty Sorrow, that was Katie singing.
Right. So it sounds like Becca has a little lower voice, maybe?
Yeah, Becca has studied more classical sounding.
Uh-huh.
And so she has a more trained voice, and Katie has more of a rustic folk bluegrass voice.
Right. And there's some more stuff here with Katie singing that I think is great. For example, Little Maggie, maybe?
Yep, that's on the last album we did, Ampersand, which did feature Katie and me on our duet projects.
Little Maggie, over yonder she stands, rifle on her shoulder, six-shooter in her hand. How can I ever stand it just to see them two blue eyes? Shining like some diamonds in the sky.
Rather be. That was a neat project, and I hear you guys won a Pearl Award for that. What was it? Best Instrumental Album or something,
right?
Of 08 or 07 or whenever it was?
08?
Yeah, Best Contemporary Instrumental.
No, you'll never be mine. Well, it's march me away to the station with my suitcase in my hand. Yes, march me away to the station. I'm off to some far distant land. Sometimes I have a nickel. Sometimes I have a dime. Sometimes I have $10 just to pay.
And there are a number of great selections on there, and I'll play a few more for listeners to hear.
There was a man who lived for love. His wife sweet made the sky above. All year he worked, and so he found survival in the ground. Oh, May in June you loved me. Oh, May before you left me. Winter comes again in June. Oh, May. One spring and day his wife came out, she had something to cry about. You mind your harvest more than me, this future cannot be. Oh, May in June you loved me, oh, May before you left me. Winter comes again in June, oh, May. She passed the field that cost her love and grew her meal. Into the spring she said so long and sang November's song. Oh, May in June you loved me. Oh, May before you left me. Winter comes again in June. Oh, May.
Liz, before I leave my concentration on you, I have to play one of my favorite lines of yours anywhere, which is in your Farewell to Nauvoo CD with Lisa Arrington.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have never thought of this. I don't know if it's ever occurred to you, but I feel like your fill in between the first and second verses is just brilliant. So let's listen in between the first and second lines. Here's that.
Now, my dear companions, 'tis the time to start anew, 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 for the kingdom of heaven, with faith and zeal and courage strong.
It's coming up.
We will ever be marching on, struggling on,
right here. Okay, you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to play that again because I love it. Did that ever occur to you, Liz? That was a brilliant line.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I guess that's a no.
No, I've never thought of it.
But it is. I love it.
Well, thank you.
As a matter of fact, I have to play it one more time. So did you just make that up?
Well, actually, that project was especially fun to do because while my husband and I were actually dating, we did this project together, and he is a composer. And so he and I actually worked out all the string parts together, so we kind of worked off of each other and figured out what parts work well on the cello, what parts work well from his compositional perspective, and so it was kind of a collaborative effort.
So he helped you on what to play. I always thought that you kind of just played along without... Did you have anything written out beforehand, or was it planned in other ways?
Most of...
For this one, actually, this Farewell to Nauvoo was a little bit different from most of our other CDs because it started off with the arrangements that Lisa had done. Lisa Arrington had put together these piano arrangements probably 10 years ago of these old Shaker and Mormon hymns, and then we decided to do this CD along with her, with her arrangements and some of our own and some new music. And so it started off already with more of a formalized beginning.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of it is just us kind of improvising along to it the way we normally performed.
Yeah.
But there were several of them where Liz and Andrew, Liz's husband, as she said, boyfriend then, actually wrote down some charts in advance, and that made it go much faster than some of our other recordings.
We really did
make it up as we went along. Though I got to say, making it up as we went along is not just something we would do at the recording stage.
Right.
Many performances I would watch, especially Liz and Katie, get an idea in the middle of a show and take off in a direction that we hadn't gone before. And I would just try to keep up. I'd stand there with my drum. So if your dad was wondering why it didn't look like I knew what I was doing, it was probably because they were playing something I hadn't ever heard before. That's one of the funnest things about doing this project together as a family, was that there was so much of this kind of extrasensory perception going on, a lot of intuitive playing, mind reading, and that kind of thing. So it made it interesting and unpredictable and sometimes a little crazy.
Are you talking about a particular project or the whole
thing? Just the whole thing from when we first started playing together. Yeah, this all started when the girls were really young.
Yeah.
And their mom would take them off to do a show probably a wedding or a bar mitzvah with her. She played the Irish harp. As they got to be 9 years old, she would say, "If you practice really a whole lot, I'll let you come and perform with me." So that's kind of how it got started.
And you were musical already too, Mark, right?
Well,
you played the guitar and stuff?
I played the guitar, yeah. I was not musical in the same way that these girls I watched grow up in, and Kira was really the musician of the family.
And I wanted to ask if I can, because Kira passed away in 1997.
That's right.
Correct.
She obviously had a great influence on you guys, Liz,
mm-hmm.
and on your musical development. How did it affect you guys when she passed away and was no longer in your lives?
Well, I think from a musical standpoint, it really took something that started off as a hobby, a way to spend time as a family, and it turned it into a way to really cope with what was going on around us. I mean, I was 10 uh-huh. years old at the time when my mom passed away, and so... having this kind of anchor of something that I knew that she was really passionate about helped me connect with her and also connect with the world around me. And so music really became a source of comfort and strength for me from a young age. And I think that's one of the motivating factors in sticking with music, especially Celtic music and Irish music, and learning how to adapt that to my voice as a cellist and as a person. So musically, it really changed the way that I thought about this form of communication.
Interesting. So it's almost like her death catapulted you or gave you propulsion in a different way, even to go further than she had she had before.
Yeah, and another way that it affected us is that music became a way for us as a family to stay close to each other and to relate to each other.
And especially, I'd say, in those difficult teenage years, there were times where otherwise we probably would not have wanted to be in the same room as each other, and yet we had to be on stage playing together, making harmony together, and, you know, sometimes it was chaos until we got on stage, and then this magic would happen, and I think that helped us, not just with the music, but I think it helped us all personally and also to build kind of a family culture.
Yeah, very interesting. I don't know if you guys know, but my family is similar in that we have done a lot of music together and performed together, and I can definitely relate to the, you know, fighting off stage or whatever, and then singing, whether it's on stage or off stage, doing music together, and just that kind of bringing you together in a certain way.
Yeah,
right.
It really did.
How about this one, Wattle Waltz? Is that a tune that you guys are playing and arranging, or is that something that somebody wrote from the group?
My sister Katie and I co-wrote this tune. We actually wrote it in honor of our little sister, Zina. My dad got remarried about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. And they now have two little kids. And the youngest, named Zina, used to dance whenever Katie and I would play music together. And so we wrote this song because she wasn't quite waltzing, but she could waddle at the time.
So hence Waddle Waltz.
Yep. Waddle Waltz.
Well, that's cute, and this is a beautiful tune.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
And there's another tune on the same album for the little brother called Zanny Boy.
Oh, that's right, because your other son is Zanny.
Yep.
Do you do Celtic music, and it probably stems maybe originally from Kira? Is that her name?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, Kira's father and mother were both very serious musicians. She came from a very musical family and became an honorary Celt, I think, and that just flowed over to all of us.
Celtic music just kind of speaks to me in a way that I can really relate to. We aren't genetically from a specific Celtic land, but by going to Ireland, I really hope to be able to establish myself as an Irish cellist so that I can get more of a connection of a specific Celtic subgenre.
Well, that's definitely a good one.
Yes, it's my favorite.
We also got interested in the Celtic and other folk roots of a lot of the old Mormon songs and hymns, and especially we'd like to find the ones that had the Celtic roots, like Adam on the Almond.
If you can hide a collab.
This earth was once a garden place, with all her glories common, and men did live a holy race, and worship Jesus face to face.
I have two more questions for you. One is, How do you do it now that you're so spread apart as far as recording?
Well, you know, it's the miracle of the internet. We basically, Liz put down scratch tracks, so then we went into a studio and performed our parts. And then she sent Becca's parts out to her in Hawaii. She found a studio there. And then everybody posted their respective parts on an FTP site. And Liz's engineer in Boston downloaded everything and mixed it together with the performers that were in Boston. And it's amazing. It sounds like we were all in the same room together.
That sounds great. Yeah. And what's your, of all these CDs, if I can ask this, I don't know if you want to give me a straight answer or not, but what's your most popular?
Well, as far as which one has sold the most is definitely the Return to Nauvoo. That's sold many, many more than the others. I think that has to do with
the Mormon fan base.
Yeah.
I have to say it's one of my personal favorites. It's really great.
Thank you.
This earth was once a garden place with all her glories common, and
thank you so much for talking with me. It's been really fun.
It's been a pleasure.
I feel like I'm mingling with these famous people. But for those of you who didn't know they were famous, now you know. And it will now become a household word for you, fiddlesticks, and not just when you're angry and don't want to say something else.
Yep.
When you say, hey, let's turn on fiddlesticks. Liz's new CD is Big Fiddle. It's excellent. As are the other ones that I've heard. Thank you guys so much for being with us. Do you have anything to say as we close?
Thank you, Clayton. Well, I just got to say that it was really an amazing journey to go through the growing up of these girls of mine with the music all mixed in. I think it really helped, you know. There were times when I think it was the music that kept us going, and maybe some of that has gotten through onto the albums that we've left behind.
Love will make our spirits grow, grow in peace, grow in light. Love will do the thing that's right.
Love. How about you, Liz, before you're so famous that we can't get you on our show anymore? Any last words?
Well, let's see.
Erin Gebrach.
Have I made you feel weird enough yet by smothering you with all this praise?
Oh, no. Stop it some more. No, it's great. it's been, I guess the family band has been a really fun experience for me to grow up surrounded by music, and I'm excited to take a lot of the things that I've learned through that outlet and apply them as I begin this next adventure in Ireland. The adventure continues.
Yes. And check them out at fiddlesticks.com. That's fiddle-sticks.com. And where else can you get your CDs?
On lizdavismaxfield.com.
We're on iTunes and CD Baby, amazon.com, and your local Deseret bookstore.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll talk to you someday in the future.
All right. Thanks a lot, Clayton.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
This is the Should Be Famous podcast. www.shouldbefamous.com. I'm Clayton Pixton. We'll talk to you next time.